Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you once again, Abba Yah, for allowing us to come to the door of the Shabbat, which should be opening. We're getting closer and closer to this time that the Shabbat door will be open, probably within another month. Around this time of day, 7:30, the door of the Shabbat will be open. We'll be in the Sabbath. So thank you, Abba Yah, for allowing us to get to another Sabbath. We appreciate that. We thank you for that. We thank you for thinking about us and guiding us through this week and then allowing us to just get here. No matter how we got here, we thank you for allowing us to get to your Shabbat, Father. Whether it was a rough week or a good week or a trying week, however we got here, we got here. Thank you, Abba. We know it wasn't but by your strength and by your guidance and by the Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, for allowing us to get here to your door, to your Shabbat, your rest. We open up with a prayer. I'm your brother, Ariel, here at Kol Elohim with Hebrew culture. That is the thing that I have laid in my spirit, my rock, to bring forth the culture of the Hebrews, the culture of the people of the book. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Torah Abba, once again, life, breath, sound mind, health and strength, and for the Father, those who are not in sound mind, Father, not in good health, not in strength, Father, I pray for them, Father. I pray that you allow them to become in better health, better strength, their ruach, their spirit be lifted up, Father, by you, Father. I pray for all those who are alien in any kind of way, Father, that you lift them up, Father, that you comfort them, Father. Those who have family members that's out there in this world, Father, that they worry about, they care about, Father, that you cover them, Father, that you comfort your children only if it's for their sake, Father, although they might have not even served you, Father, but for your children's sake, Father, for the peace of mind of your Yaladi, your children, your chosen ones, your set-apart ones, Father, cover them, Father. Cover them. Cover all the elders, Father, of Yisrael, Father. Cover all the Akotis, all the Emas, all the Yaladid, all the children, sisters, mothers, fathers, the Kohanim, Father, those who are burdened or entrusted to teach your word, Father, that you give them a special blessing, Father, a special covering, Father, a special shalom, Father. Peace of mind. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Get my glass. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage of remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Excuse me. Amen. Amen. Well, family, we're here at part one. Last week was the introduction of why prophecies, and we're going to go through a few things of what we talked about last week just to catch the people up who have not heard it or may go back and get into why prophecies. You know, that was a question that Abba put forth last week, that why did he give prophecy, you know, and come to find out because to warn us, first and foremost, to warn us. To warn us to be a part of our lives, to show that he is the one guiding everything, as he said in his word, that he shows the end from the beginning, you know, so we can go from the beginning of the book and see where he said something in his word, and in our day and time that it came true. You know, but for the most part, they're warnings, you know, for and guidance to his people. So we won't be ignorant. We won't be surprised when things are going down in this world system, that if we take hold and believe what Abba said, literally right now this country is on fire. It's on fire right now. Literally, it's on fire. So much happening, not in this just this country, but this world. Todahaki, this world. So much is happening in this world right now. So much. But we live in a country that's got so much going on. It's on fire. I watched a little part of the news today when I got home from work, and they was talking about hurricanes and how normally at this time of year, we're in the midst of hurricane season, that is normally throughout the whole year, it's 13. We may get 13 hurricanes. But they say to date, it has been 17, and we're still within the midst of hurricane season. So it's like everything is amped up just in, I forgot where we were. It was Denver, Colorado, Missouri, one of them states out north, you know, out northeast, all up that area, somewhere western states, in the middle of the country, over that way, Colorado, I don't know which one of them it was, that, well, excuse me, family text came through, sorry about that, that it snowed the other day, had like 5 to 6 inches of snow. At one part of the country, the weather is so hot that it's on fire. In this part of the country, that it snowed. 5 to 6 inches of snow. Some people wearing coats in the country. Some people wearing shorts. It's so hot they can't put the fires out west. Here in this side of the country where we at, nothing but storms. Is hurricanes, all this type of rain and weather. So one who has a relationship with the Most High, I got to sit back and ask, well, what in the world is going on? We never see this much commotion at one time in the country, and not just the country, but the world. What's going on, Father? Well, let me talk to us. And he has been. If we've been listening for these couple of last months, and so he has always been talking to us, he has been showing us prophetic word in these, through his morays in these last couple months, because as we talked about, he do not want us to be ignorant of what's going on in this world. He do not want us to be ignorant of what's going on. He do not want us to be surprised of what's happening in this world system. Talking about the word last week and why prophecy, that so part of the word is prophetic, you know, and the part of it is historical facts, historical truths, that we can go back in history and find out that, yes, that did happen. But even with that historical truth, Abba can use a prophetic word out of that historical truth. He can show us a prophetic truth out of the historical truth. Because as we know and understand it, he orchestrates everything. He orchestrates the good. He orchestrates the bad. There's nothing that he's not in control of. Nothing that he's not in control of. And we may ask that, oh, why is there so much going on in this world if he's not in control of? Because it's about choice. Well, why is it that a 14-year-old boy here in Baltimore today got murdered? 14-year-old. And why the 14-year-old? We may think that's strange and we may think that's hard, but they found the gun on the 14-year-old boy. Whatever life that he was in, well, what happened with his life? Why did he end up with a gun on him? Choice. Again, everything is about choice. Everything is about choice and consequences of your choices. Everything. Everything we do. He's not a dictator. He's not one of those rulers who is going to make you do what he say do. He don't want that. He wants you to come to find out how he loved you, how he sent his son down here to die for you, and you in turn love him. And all he asks is one thing, just obey my word. Just obey my word. And why, Father, why is that so important, just to obey your word? Because in my word is life. In my word, it is a navigation for this world system, for the darkness that we live in. My word is light. It's going to guide you through this world system. It's going to guide you through it if you just obey it. If you just pick it up and you read it and study it for yourself. And as you're studying, you pray and ask for understanding. I send arrays, I send prophets, I send all these for the benefit of you. Believers, Israel, all that is for the benefit of you. Because again, we know just anybody can't pick up his word. We do know that. But if you desire a relationship with him, he'll give you understanding. And then when you fall short, he'll give you prophets and teachers, as the word says, for your edification in his word. He'll give you that. He'll give you that. He'll give you whatever you desire. He said, put your hand to it. I set before you fire and water. I command you to choose life. I command you to choose life. In other words, choose my ways. Choose me. So we're going to be going through for these next couple of weeks some prophecies, and we're going to be saying, we're going to be answering the question for the longest while we're going through this. Why prophecies? You know, prayerfully we can get into some good ones, you know, whatever, however our believers, you know, that's the way we're going to follow. But some of those things that these four horsemen that the book of Revelations talk about, you know, these seals that the book of Revelations talk about, have they been opened? Have some of them, is the four horsemen gone? Did they move already? You know? But we're going to deal with a very simple one today, simple one today, and one that most people is not at the forefront of their mind. They have no clue on this battle, this war that goes on constantly, have been going on before we was here, mankind, that is. We read these things and we hear these things about there's an enemy, but it's not at the forefront of our minds. Yahushua even told us about an enemy, you know, through several prophets, that there's an enemy, even the enemy within us. But this flesh, it wants to hold on to this world system. Part of me, we talked about this earlier, me and my coworker, and we talked about what Trump said about these viruses and how these viruses wasn't, he played it down. He essentially lied to the people and said it wasn't bad. And he outright lied, if you follow, you have been following. It's not that bad. He'd been lying to the people. He's been lying to the people, straight up. Ain't no other way to say it. He's lying to the people about this virus that's been going on and is only going to kill the elderly, but we just found that he was holding information that could help the masses, that could help the people. And what we talked about is, I'm like, oh, man, if the Democrats, and when I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. I'm not an independent. I'm not none of that. And I'm not bigging up neither side, because what I know and understand about both sides, if you're pro-Democrat, if you're pro-Republican, you're pro-House of Tongue. You're pro-devil, period. Because neither one of them is righteous. And we are not in the business here of taking the lesser of an evil. Evil is evil. We can't afford to take the lesser of an evil. So you can't, if neither side is righteous. Neither side is righteous. But a part of me is like, man, I really don't really want dumb Donald Trump to lose. Because I know, I understand, if he lose, I know his followers is really going to kick off this race war. It's really going to kick that off. But then the thought came to me like, hold on, son. Didn't I say that in my word? Didn't I say that in the chapter that you say you love the most is Matityahu, Matthew 24, that ethnos going to be against ethnos. He said nation shall rise against nation. But when you look at the word of nation, it's going to take it to a Greek word, ethnos, which means tribe against tribe, ethnic group against ethnic group. He said, didn't I say that? Well, you don't want my word to come true. Because a part of you want to still hold on to this. You want to still hold on to this. You don't want my word to come true. And I had to sit back and take what Abba was saying and correct as he corrected me and say, Abba, you're right. It's this little teeny part of you that want to hold on to this system. Do not want this system to crumble, but Abba said it's going to crumble in his word if we believe his word or not. Do we believe what Yahushua told his Talmudim, his disciples, on the Mount Carmel? Yahoo 24, do we believe that? Or is it just good word for us? Or is it just for a moment? Do we believe it? I had to correct myself. Hey, well, whatever happens, happens. Father, you have already given us the blueprint to whatever's going to happen in this world system. Giving us as believers how we should remove, how we should move in this world system. You already given us what's coming down the pipe. You already given us what happened in the past. He said, what did he say? My word? What did he say? What did Yahweh show? So excuse me, son. It was right there. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we believe that? Same yesterday. Today and forever, the word of Yahweh, it is forever living in this world system. It's going to be forever a guidance for us in this darkness that we are in. In this darkness, it's going to be a guidance for us. Part of me, Donald Trump, I don't want him to lose, but I'm saying, hey, I allow my word to play out the way I said it was going to play out. Allow it to play out the way I said it was going to play out. Because neither one is righteous. Not one of them. 200, as the brother brought out, brother Yakel, many a time, 208 sovereign countries on the planet, and not one is operating. Not one is operating within the Torah. They may have pieces of it. They may have a bit right there, a little bit right here. But that we understand that that's the world system. We understand that Yahweh say, be in the world, but not of the world. Hold up. What do you mean by that? Well, you ask the average person, or even the average believer, what do you mean by that, Father? Be in the world, but not of the world. Operate in the world system. Uphold or abide by these laws in the world. You said in your word that a man should eat by the sweat of his brow. In other words, man got to go out if he want to eat and provide for his family. Work. I told you that in my word. So you can work in this world system. perfect garment. You see what? You don't need to put me working in this world system. No, he said that in the beginning. You want to eat? What are your brow? Man, so you can have a job in this world system. But still, within this world system, you're operating within my Torah. Within my Torah in this world system. Hold up, Abba. Now, come on. We're going to talk word. We're going to go through your word, Abba. You said in the book of Jeremiah, go down there in captivity, what y'all supposed to do? Be good citizens down there. Be good citizens. Do what they ask you to do. Don't buck up against the system, because if you buck up against it, I'm coming against you. Yeah, I did. And even down in Babylon, when we went down in Babylon, they even took some of the best of us, didn't they? They took some of the best of us, and they put us in their system. They gave us government jobs. Some of the best and brightest they took and gave them government jobs. But what happened? They gave y'all an example with them government jobs. We know the three Hebrew brothers. We know Dana'al, Daniel, they showed you how to operate with that government job. You uphold my Torah. You still live. And if they try to put something against my Torah, that's when you go against that world system. Why? Because this world system is being ran by the fourth beast. The thing that I told Daniel while he was down there, I gave it to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. I gave it to a Gentile who I called my servant. And once we're going to take place, four kingdoms, living in that fourth kingdom right now. We still living under the Rome authority right now. We still living under it. That's prophecy. We get there when we get there. But you know what? There's a new day and time. I told Brother Yakonin on the island of Patmos or something a little different. I gave him something different. It was a time change. Something took place. Come out of her, my people. Come out of where? We in the world, but now you're saying come out of her. Come out of how this world system ranks. Look for their voting system and say that that's going to give you any strength, because I'm your strength. Out of how they run things. Yes, you be a productive citizen, but you come out of that. Why? Because I'm going to destroy that. None of that down there you put hope in. Don't put hope in none of that. You put hope in my Torah. Well, I don't know. And that's what he was bringing to me. All that about this world system. But all this commotion that's going on. So at the end of the day, Israel, you ain't got no excuse. Because I gave your guidance on how to get out of that. How to come up out of that. Just follow the guidance. Get in those footsteps. And walk. This world is coming to an end. Regardless of how much we don't want it to. Regardless of how much we still attach to it, this world system is coming to an end. I got to set up my kingdom. And I'm going to show you throughout these 6 weeks how they're going to buck up against me, how they have been bucking up against me through several of my prophets. And the brother's been bringing out some. Brother's been bringing some things out. In these last 6-7 months, these brothers, these Morays, been bringing the word of Yahweh out. But he said he will not leave us ignorant. He will be there for us. He will not leave us ignorant. When we listen close enough, he's been telling us this for years. For years. I mean, for years. I remember 10, 15, 20 years ago, he's talking about this. But he always got to regurgitate his word for Israel. He always got to regurgitate it. He got to bring it back up. Many times we didn't talk about Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, what he didn't taught 15, 20 years ago, even longer. Well, I've been telling y'all about that. Are y'all listening? Are y'all comfortable in this world system? Are you really, do you really want the kingdom of Yah to come? When we say the prayer or the guideline of a prayer that Yahushua gave, thy kingdom come, do we really want Yah kingdom to come? Do we really want shalom? There's a movie in The Matrix, right? Right, he said, when he had Morpheus, when Agent Smith had Morpheus, and he said that they try to make a perfect, the first Matrix they made, it was perfect. It was no crime in it, it was no sin in it. He said, but something about your species kept bucking up. He said, it wouldn't go right. And that's human nature, you know. He said, it wouldn't go right. It wouldn't stay on track. He said, we had to have destruction. We had to have confusion. That's human nature. If those who remember the scene in the movie. So we come to a point. Do we really want the kingdom of Yah? Are we really getting rid of, as my brother would say, isms and schisms of this flesh so we can prepare ourselves for the kingdom of Yah? Talks about when he come back, they're going to, Hasatan, Satan, going to be put away for 1,000 years, and man still going to fight against him. Still going to try to fight against the Messiah when they come back, Yahushua. That human nature do not want the kingdom of Yah. Don't want it. Fights against it. Find reasons to go at one another. Find reasons to have odds against one another. He said, and he said, you know what, these humans, man. Man, before it's all over, it's going to be an ethnic war. Don't even worry about nation against nation. It's going to be an ethnic war. It's going to be black, white, Chinese, all these people just going to hate each other. Find reasons not to get along. Find reasons not to get along. Find reasons not to love and love one another. And we're talking about believers. Offended by one another and don't want to love one another. Offended. We don't want to love one another. You find reasons. I'm sad to say, but the question is, are we the ones holding up the word of Yahweh? You don't want my word to come true, Ariel? I told you that. You don't want my word to come true? I told you. Told you. The world, you just read my word. Just follow it. Nation going to rise against nation. You're going to find reasons not to love one another. Not so. Should not be so. With Yisrael, should not be so with believers. It should not be so. It should not be so. We have guidelines even for that. If thy brother Yahushua said it, we say, if thou you have up with your brother, go to your brother first. Go to him. Because I'm warning you, because that's coming. It's going to blow. So before we get there, humble yourself. Find a reason to love one another. Find a reason to show me in this world, in this darkened world, why we in these darkened days. Find a reason to love. Find a reason to show the spirit of Yahushua in this world. It should already be in us. But again, We got an adversary. He's slick. He know how to manipulate our minds. He know how to get in our feelings. Even at times when we think we're doing something right, he know how to manipulate that. We got several examples in the Word when a brother or a sister thought they was doing something right, and bam, something come down. We remember the story when David bringing the ark back, falling, and the brother said to himself, "Oh no, I love Yahweh so much. I will jump up under this ark and I will hold it up." As looking and reading, and those who was there, even our forefather David, looked and thought that was admirable. Right there, that brother went down there, the ark was falling, he jumped right up under it. Killed him. That's an honorable thing. The ark, the holy ark, is falling. Save it. That we was upset with Abba. Out of line. That's how I'm feeling. Out of line, I told what I say. The priest, the holy thing. Do what I say, you will survive. Prophet went to another prophet. We went and prophesied. Another prophet came to him. Said, "I'm one too. Brother, I'm going back to the house with you." But I was told the prophet, "Don't go nowhere. Go home, dude. Go prophesy and go right back home. Don't stop. Don't go to McDonald's. Don't go to Burger King. Don't go do nothing. Don't go do no snowball. You go straight home." Meal got full. The prophet prophesied against him on the way out the door. You know what? Because you disobeyed Yahweh. Can you imagine the surprise to the other prophet's face? "You call me up in here all up. I wasn't." No, you did. You disobeyed Abba. Said a bear and a lion, and I believe a lion and a bear, or a lion and something else came and tore us behind a piece. Even at times when we think we're doing honorable things, we have to be certain. We have to understand the will of Abba, the will of the Father. We have to know the will of the Father. Abide by it if we're going to survive. Because even in times we think we're doing something honorable, it could be against Abba's will. And Abba knew why all that came out. I don't. So let's get into prophecies. Let me get to my opening scripture, family. And that is in Romans 15:4, family, and I will be reading out of the WEBA scriptures tonight. I will be reading out of that. Romans 15:4. We're going to learn some things. And for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through perseverance, encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We might have what's the hope? The hope that we don't get in that kingdom. The hope that we won't fall. And if we do fall, we go back and we read the scripture in there, or brothers, Abba, send a brother or sister to you, and they bring you a word, they bring you a story. They might not even bring it word for word. But it's the principles of Abba's word that they brought to you on behalf of Abba, because he understands and knows what's going on with you. So on the behalf of Abba, they bring a word to you. They bring a story to you, and it encourages you. It gives you hope to get back up, to keep walking on that straight and narrow path. So why prophecy? Let's go to one of the first prophecies in the Bible, or the word of Yahweh. And we're going back to Bereshit 3:15, family. Bereshit 3:15, and And I might just read the whole thing to see. No, I'm going to just start at 13, family. If you want, read the whole chapter. For those who don't or have not ever heard this, go back and read the whole chapter and find out where I'm coming from. But I'm going to start at 13. Yahweh Elohim said to the woman, "What have you done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And Yahweh said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock and above every animal of the field. You shall go on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility you and the woman in between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." Listen to what I was saying. And the King James says, "I will put enmity." Same thing, hostility. I'm going to put some anger between y'all two, between this seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. So let's go through some scriptures tonight. Maybe somebody have not heard. Who is the serpent in the garden? So we're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to see if the word of Yahweh can answer these things, which it can. It's going to answer. But we're going to get this picture of the serpent seed, and we're going to get this picture of the woman seed. And at the end of the day, we will learn who is the serpent and the woman, who is her seed. Let's move on to Ezekiel 28:11. Ezekiel 28:11. The thing that I had on the paper was, well, who is the serpent? Who is the serpent? "Moreover, Yahweh's word came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and tell him, Thus saith Yahweh, you were the seal full of measure, full of wisdom and beauty." And this is the beautiful thing for those who don't know. Those who don't know, as the teachers taught. Remember, we are students, and maybe somebody listening do not know. Watch how the word of Yahweh can change. It's prophetic. Remember that. He can talk to the king of Tyre, but then it's going to change literally. He can be talking to somebody else. We'll find out. Let's find that out. "You were in Eden, the garden of Yah." We know for a fact that the king of Tyre was not in the garden. If you go back and you read, start from chapter 2 all the way up to 3 to where we at, you're only going to read about three people or three entities in the garden. That's Adam, Hawa, and the serpent. That's it. But right here in Ezekiel is talking about somebody else is in the garden, the king of Tyre. Is it talking about the king of Tyre in the garden? Well, let's finish reading. We wanted to get that straight. "You were in Eden, the garden of Yah, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone adorned you: ruby, topaz, emerald. I'm gonna tear that one up. Chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and barley. Gold, work of tambourines and of pipes, was in you. There were prepared in the day that you were created." He's talking about pipes inside of this man. He's talking about all these stones was in this man. This is made in his body. I mean, man, we know that's made like that. We don't know no man made like that, right? "You were the anointed cherub." There we go. The thought changes. He said you were anointed cherub. You were set apart. You was a set apart angel. A cherub, we know what a cherub is. A cherub is one of the angels that has wings, right? You have wings. There was four of them, right? Four cherubs. So it was like four generals. This one right here, who he's talking about, was a general. You were the anointed cherub who covered. Then I set you upon the holy mountain of Yah. You walk up and down in the middle of the stones of fire. Huh? If you know anything about the temple, he walked up and down while we have an brazen altar, and then we have an altar of incense. That's the fire right there, the altar of incense. This cherub was in the tabernacle in the heavens. He was walking up and down there. He was giving sweet smells to the Father. He was the one bringing praises, in other words, to the Father. So this cherub, he was high ranking. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your commerce, your insult, violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as a profane out of Elohim's mountain. I have destroyed you, covering cherub, from the middle of the stones of fire. And this is going from Yeshua 28:11-17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I have cast you to the ground. I have laid before you kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, the unrighteousness of your commerce, you have profaned your sanctuary. Therefore, I have brought out of you, out a fire from the middle of you. It has devoured you. I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all those who know you among the peoples will be astonished at you. You have become a terror, and you will exist no more. Given the status of this fallen angel. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Now let's move on to, because at this time it still ain't given, but all we know and understand that whoever this was, he was in the tabernacle, whoever this cherubim was in the tabernacle. He was up there in the heavens. Remember, there's a tabernacle that he told Moses to make, and there's a tabernacle in the heavens. Why? Because he told Moses to make it after the pattern that I showed you. He showed Moses the heavenly tabernacle. So everything Moses or Israel got was a pattern that was already going on in the heavens. Because he's building something. He's doing something that started in the heavens. Now he's bringing it down to the physical, for a physical man can move in this battle. And I'm going to leave that part right there. We're not going to go too deep in that. Let's go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 14. We're going to 14:12-24. That is Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. All the way down to 24. Now he's about to give who this person was. How have you fallen from heaven, shining one, son of dawn, son of the dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, who laid the nations low? You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Again, he's building with us. He first gave a description of him. Now he's telling us what happened to him. He said iniquity or unrighteousness was found. Now he's giving us what happened to him. Let me start over. How have you fallen from heaven, shining one, son of the dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Elohim. I will sit on the mountain of the assembly in the far north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself. he was not satisfied with the position that he had. He was not satisfied. He did not honor what the Creator, Yahweh, had already given him. He had no honor for it. He didn't just want that. He wanted to be just like him. He wanted to be like Yahweh. I'm going to leave that right there, too. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the depth of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you, ponder you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who didn't release his prisoners to their home? All the kings of the nations sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast away from your tomb like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain, who are thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a dead body trodden underfoot. You will not join them in burial, because you have destroyed your land. You have killed your people. The offspring of evildoers will not be named forever for the slaughter of his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, that they not rise up and possess the earth and fill the surface of the world with cities. I will rise up against them, says Yahweh of armies, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and the son's son, says Yahweh. He said this person had seeds. He got son. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and pools of water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of armies. So Yahweh already has something against him. Yahweh saying that in him, I'm going to be fighting against you. Because you thought you was going to raise yourself up to my heights. You thought you should get praises like me. You think because you was beautiful, you think because you had stones in you, you was perfectly made, that you should get praises like me? Because a lot of mankind feel that way. A lot of mankind feel that way. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the woman's seed, talking about the serpent's seed. But he said he was going to cast this one down. So let's go and get some more evidence from the scripture that this entity, Halal, Lucifer, was cast down. Let's go to Luke 10:18. Remember, I thought we're going to start at 70. I mean, you're going to start at 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Adonai, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I saw Satan having fallen like lightning from heaven. Here's a thought with that. When did that happen? Didn't just happen when Yahushua came on the scene right there. So if you saw Satan fall from heaven, where was you at? How did you see Hasatan fall from heaven? But that's another story. We're not going to go that deep. We're not going to get that far. Because I don't want to lose nobody. But the Messiah said, Yahushua said, that's nothing. They saw him lose in the heavens, kicked out. We also read in Yeshayahu, Isaiah. We read in them books, those two books, that he was kicked out. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, right? Precept upon precept, right? We just building. Now here it is, quote unquote, in the New Testament, that. In people's mind, that don't supposed to have nothing to do with the Old Testament. But we're seeing the whole story put together, rightly dividing the word of Yahweh. Right? Not to be ashamed, right? Yahushua says, that's nothing. Backing up what Yeshayahu said. Backing up with Yeshayahu said. Ezekiel and Isaiah, he's backing these things up. I saw him kicked out of heaven. That's nothing. Let's move on. Let's finish going on Hasatan, who we found out that he has moved upon the serpent. So it wasn't literally talking to the serpent, the father was saying. He was literally talking to the serpent, I mean. But he was talking to behind the serpent, motivating them. Because we know why would the father say he going to put enmity between some snakes and the woman. No, that don't, the father ain't worried about that. No, he's talking about that demon, that entity. Hasatan, Satan, the devil. He's talking about him. The woman seed and the devil seed. He's talking about that seed. Let's go to Revelation. Let's finish building on this right here in Revelation. The Revelation gives us more of this story. And that's Revelation Hagan 12, starting at 7. We're going to go from 7 to 9. And now, because let's go back to Ezekiel first. You know, some iniquity was found in this term, Hallel, Satan, right? So at this time, in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, he then got up the nerve to say, you know what? When we read it, he said he's going to raise his throne. So he really took action. Raise his throne. Beside the throne of Yahweh. He wanted to praise just like Yahweh. So it ain't that we read it, but we have to see the story and understand that he took action. Brothers in the heavens, actions against the other three generals, the other three cherubs. Because he literally tried to raise his throne to the heights of Yahweh so he can get the praises too. So let's listen. Let's see another part of the story that took place before mankind. This took place before mankind. There was a war in the sky. War in the sky. Well, what was this war about? And how many people know and understand that the war is still going on? We just don't see it. But we came to a nice little story that Abba laid down for us of what took place. The war in the sky. Mikael, Michael, and his angels. See, Mikael was another cherub. He was another one of the four generals up there, so to speak, up there. And he took, let's listen to what he took, and made war on the dragon. See, there's another name or another description that the father given to Hasatan, Satan, Allah. The dragon and his angels made war. Mankind. Way before Adam and Kawa, way before this thing was battling up there in the heavens. Up there in the heavens. They didn't prevail, neither was there a place found for them anymore in the heavens. Their position. Hasatan lost his position as the praise bringer. He lost that. He lost his position. But let's remember, he did not lose none of his power. He did not lose none of it. None of it. And thanks to Yahweh that we went through the, because now we know how. Because if Mikael and Hasatan, they fought against each other, and we would think here on this earth that they equal power. So how could Mikael overthrow them? Because we learned in the book of Enoch that Abba gives them more power. He gave them, I forgot the angel's name, if anybody remembers, just shoot it to me, that he gave them more power to put the angels in chains, to take them down to the depths where it's real high, to take them down where it was real cold. In the book of what's name? In the book of Enoch. About the same thing about this war that was that's still raging today. Still raising. We even can go back in the book of Daniel, where though the scriptures are there, a lot of people talk about the Daniel fast, but they don't they read over that when Daniel prayed for those 21 days, that the angel came back. He said, "Man, I would have been back with your prayer, but I was held up by another angel. I forgot what country was over by another angel. Held up, and if it wasn't because Mikael, another angel come from on high to help me, I'd still be up there wrestling with them. At that time, they was equal power. But Abba, just like he do us. We talked about that last week. We talked about how some have more of the spirit than others. And that's another story right there. That's another level to it. Because if you go back in the book of Daniel, talks about how he was the angel that was bringing the message back. He said, "I'd have been back here the first day. You are well beloved up in the heavens. We talked about you up there." He said, "But I was held up from the Prince of Persia." But the Prince of Persia got power to hold up another angel? No. So now we know and understand that these angels are the ones over these nations. Whispering in their ear. So that should give us today a thought on all this wickedness that's going on out here that Abba is allowing to happen. Angel, the Prince of Persia. That means he got ship over in Persia. He the one telling the king of Persia how to act. How to act. Yes, we know Abba moved on upon who he want to move on and when he want to move on them. And it's all for the benefit of his children. Yes, he used a Gentile for the benefit of his children. But let's get back in this. We just wanted to show that. Well, 12:8 again. They didn't prevail, neither was a place found for them anymore in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that old serpent. He who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, one who just read, I don't see no angels. I don't see no big red man running around with horns and a pitchfork. Because you ain't going to say it, but that's the imagination of man. But if we follow the script, we follow what Yahweh said. We understand. We go back in Ephesians, and Ephesians gives us another insight to what's going on. He said, "We war not against flesh and blood, but principalities, rulers in high places." See, he's building for his sons and his daughters. What's going on around them all the time? This battle. Are we paying attention? We're grounded in this earth. Yahushua came and he gave us something to be able to see, to be able to remove these things that come into our walk, to discern. He gave us his word, a guide in this darkness, a lamp to my feet, right? A light to my path. So when we're walking in this darkness, we'll see where we're going, how to get there. And that's what we're going through. We're seeing the whole world, I mean, the whole battle, right? 3 hours worth. It says the great dragon was thrown down, that old serpent. What old serpent? The one that was in the garden, the talking snake? No. That's just something that he used. He used that, that's all. So Abba was not talking to the snake, see? He was talking to the angel that was once in the heavens. And he said, I'm going to put hostility between your seed, Hallel, and the woman's seed. We didn't get to the woman's seed yet, perfect. We all know who the woman's seed is, but we just don't go through the scripture. We're going to let Abba paint that picture for us. Because can't nobody paint a picture better than Abba. Picasso, doo-doo. Abba paint a picture for his kid. Woo! Clarity. He ain't like Dumb Donald. He ain't like that. Dumb Donald won't withhold things for you. That's not right, withholding things. Abba say, look, it may hurt you. You may be in a little trouble. I'm going to show you. You may stump your foot. You may get hurt going through it. That's righteousness right there. That's righteousness. That's unrighteous to withhold things. That's not righteous. That's why we want to lie prophecies. So I won't warn you. He ain't warned the people. In his mind, he thought he was doing the right thing. That's not the right thing. The right thing is to tell the people and you can give them a choice. That's the right thing to do. A choice. That's something that money, the Hallel, Hasatan would do. He ain't going to give you no choice. He's going to withhold information from you. That's his truth. He's going to give it to you just a little bit slant. I can't get to him straight. I got to get to him with a little slant. That's the character of Hasatan. Not the character of our Father in the heavens. Even if it hurt us, he's going to tell us the truth. Like Brother Shaul said, have I become your enemy for I tell you the truth? Hey, I might have hurt your feelings, but I told you the truth. And he talking to believers. He wasn't talking to nobody in the world. I see the world, boy, where your breath stink? You got offended. You know, believers, you laugh at that, you know. There's a difference. There's a difference of rock. There's a difference of the seed. There's one righteous and there's one unrighteous. And that's what we're learning tonight. A righteous seed and an unrighteous seed living in this world at the same time. And the righteous seed is very few. There's very few of the righteous seed. But there is a multitude of unrighteousness in this world. And Abba would have it like that. Because if he didn't want it like that, he would change it. He would have it like that. Why? So that the righteous seed would never look to themselves and say, it's me. That righteous seed should look to him and say, it's by your power, your strength, that one would chase 1,000 to 10,000. Huh? That don't sound right. You would think one would chase 1,000 to 2,000. But I would say, that's not my strength. Seed, man. I got two of y'all together. 10,001. To be able to take y'all down. To be able to take y'all down. We got to walk in that type of strength right there as a believer. We got to walk in that type of strength. We got to walk in there and be able to say what Abba say in front of 1,000 people. Because Abba said, if there's 1,000 in here, you're going to chase them away with my word. We got to walk in that strength and that authority that he gave us. But Yahushua tell his time of being there, man, that's nothing. You see how Yahushua look at that? Yeah, I mean, we feel it. We see that. They come back happy. He like he bust their bubble. Man, what's going on? Y'all, he's laughing. Hey, what? Man, oh, Lord, man, come on, man, that ain't nothing. Mikael kicked him out of the heaven. That's nothing. Man, I come down here, lower than him, and watch him show him that I still, my throne still over his. And I'm going to come down here a little lower than him. Y'all catch that for those who don't know a little later. Let's finish this off. Nine again. The great dragon was thrown down, that old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels was thrown down with him. Where they at? They in the spiritual. Don't think that they take breaks. Don't think that they take naps. They don't sleep. They are always present with us. All right, so let's jump down to same chapter 12 and 13 and finish the thought. Let's jump down to 12 and 13, to 12 and 13. Therefore, rejoice, heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he was but a short time. Let's see something. When Yochanan was given this, we talking about thousands of years has passed. We're talking about what? At least 4,000 years passed, right? At least 4,000 years passed. But he's writing, but this took place before man come down and has great. But he said, woe to the earth. So woe to the first. Hold up, Abel. That Hasatan was down here when you put Adam and Eve on the ground. Woe to the earth. Because we got that out of here. Him and his boys, they had to go. But woe to the earth. He got but a short time. So you knew. I would wear the beautiful thing like the brothers were saying early on the thing. Everything is orchestrated by Abba Yah. Because we go back into Yeshua or Isaiah, there was a challenge put to the Elohim. He wanted to be just like him. He wanted to sit side by side with him, scripture says. He wanted praises too. I would say, okay, but look here, but I'm going to get you up out of my house first. And Mikael go get him and his boys and get them all out the house. You can put a challenge to me. I'm going to give you a head start. I'm going to put something down there lower than you. I'm going to give you at least 4,000 years with them before I even come down. Be able to master them before I come down. You're going to be a master manipulator to them. Show them things about themselves and about their flesh that they would never thought about. You do all that. I'll give you 4,000 years before I get down there. Came down even in his flesh. No marvel at that. I saw him kicked out of heaven. Let's move on, fam. Go back to 12 again. Therefore, rejoice, heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he was perfect. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. We're not going to get into that right now. Because he's here. Way before Adam and Eve, he's here. So we come to understand that it's not the serpent he's talking about. It's the devil. That he said he's going to put enmity against his seed and the woman's seed. So let's go find out who is this woman's seed. And we're quite sure a lot of us know already. But let's go through the word of Yahweh anyway. He may bring out something different. We don't know. So who is the woman's seed? Let's go to Yeshayahu. That's Isaiah 7:14 for those who may not know. Therefore, Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel. Immanuel, which means God is with us. Now we know and understand, for those who don't, this is a prophecy about Miriam, about a woman, a virgin woman. You know, some of our angry cousins don't believe in this prophecy. That's their fault. I ain't trying to convince them. You're picking up this word and you're trying to read it, and then you're coming up with something of your own. Hey, you know what, though? The word says that there's going to be a virgin that's going to have this birth. I can care less if you believe Joseph was the father. I'm not trying to convince you. That part has left. Has left. Can't convince you what the word of Yahweh says. Unless you want to come and sit down and reason. But we're not going to reason for days. We're not going to do that. If you want to believe that Joseph was the father, I will allow you to believe that. But I'm going to believe what the word says. Let's move on to Petit Yahoo, Matthew. To read about this, as Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Yahushua, Messiah, was like this. After his mother, Miriam, was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now, do you believe that? That Joseph was the father. See, I'll tell you. Rabbi brought it out last week, I believe, week before last. He touched it. He touched it about Yahushua, son of Nun. And if you don't have foundation, I can't go into it tonight. That may have to be a private conversation that we can go into it, because we do not want to confuse you. But they don't have that understanding. That's why they believe that Joseph was the father, because they don't understand who Joshua or Yahushua, son of Nun, was. I don't understand it. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, intended to put her away secretly. And we're going down to 18 and 25, family. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to yourself, Miriam, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. That's in her. One of the 22 letters is in her. No, we're on there. She shall give birth to a son. You shall call his name Yahushua, for it is he who shall save his people from their sin. Now all this has happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yahweh through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall give birth to a son. They shall call his name Immanuel, which is being interpreted, Yah, O Elohim, with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of Yahweh commanded him, and took his wife to himself. First, I had to take faith on Brother Joseph's part. Hold up, man. I know I ain't been with her. But an angel come to you, say, oh, you know, that's the Ruach HaKodesh, that's the Holy Spirit. And at that time, they understood that. It wasn't a big fuss to them. They had closer relationships and understood that, hey, that's the Creator right there. Today, because of man's mindset, the last person they want to, last thing they want to give credit to is the Creator. They don't want to give credit to Him for nothing. But that's why He got His Yaladid, His children in the earth. We give Him all the credit for everything. Who is the woman seed? Yahushua HaMashiach. So again, a righteous seed and an unrighteous seed. Hashatan represents the unrighteous. Yahushua represents the righteous. So that's what's going to have enmity. That's what's going to be at war with one another throughout. You go back to Bereshit, Genesis 3:15. That's what he's talking about. There will be hostility between righteous and unrighteous. Let's go to a few more points, and then we're going to get on out of here. So before we go there, we're going to read in Romans 7:14. We're going to go to Romans 7:14 because we're going to go back and we're going to read some things in the Tanakh and the quote-unquote Old Testament. And this is Brother Shaul in Romans 7:14. For we know that the law or the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, so understand. What is the brother saying? And who is he talking to? He's talking to his brothers, his Israelite brothers. You know, because that's who the Torah was given to, the Israelites. They know, I understand it. Hey, you know what? What we read on that physical paper, yes, that's valid. Yes, that's true. But there's the spiritual understanding underneath that. There's a spiritual teaching underneath of those physical words that we read or that history that was given to us. And only the Most High, only Yah, can show you those spiritual truths underneath that physical history, underneath His Word. It's only His Spirit can give us that understanding. And Romans 6, let's go back 1:6-16 before we go there. Because again, we're talking about a righteous seed and an unrighteous seed. I would like to read this whole story, but I'm just, for the time's sake, I'm just going to read Romans 6:16. Don't you know that when you present yourself as a servant, and obey someone, you are the servant of whomever you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness. See, that's how Kawa and Adam became the servants of Satan. Because they became, and they obeyed him. But what happened? The righteous seed came in the world, and he took it back from him. Laying down his life and living what Yahweh said perfectly. He took it back. That's why the scripture said that we are adopted into the body of Mashiach, into the body of Messiah. We adopted, because at one time, we all was Hasatan kids, until Yahushua did what he did. He took us back, and some of us back anyway, some that's taken hold of it. So you are the servant to whom you show yourself servant to, right? So let's go down to Shemot, Exodus 17. Let's read in Exodus 17 of this battle. Because we're still talking about hostility between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed, the righteous and the unrighteous. Let's read this battle real quick. Shemot 17, starting at 8, on down to 16. Remember what we just talked about, though. For we know that the Torah is spiritual. So what is this spiritual understanding of this physical, of this history that we can learn? This was history. This written history. This is a fact. This happened. What are we to learn from this physical war? Then Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And when you get a chance, just look up these words. Amalek. Rephidim. Look up these names. Moshe Yahusha, choose men for us and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with Elohim's rod in my hand. So Yahushua did as Moses had told him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aharon and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We missed something. We went too fast. Moshe told Yahushua, you go choose men. Well, Moshe ain't you in the lead right now. But you told him, you go choose men to fight against Amalek. And when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. We're not going to go there. We're just going to read. But Moshe's hands was heavy and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aharon and Hur held up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until sunset. Amen. Are we seeing a picture? Wow, in the world. And this food for thought, we're not going to go into it. This for those who know. Is Moshe looking like a hay? Why are you looking like the second letter in the Tetragrammaton? In the name of Yahweh, Yod Hey. Why? And then his hands get heavy. Two people got to come and hold his hand. Why this brother in the hay position? That's just food for thought. Maybe that's some homework for y'all to sit back and have power tonight. And Yahushua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Yahweh said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yahushua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek. And Moshe built an altar and called his name Yahweh Albana. And he said, Yah has sworn Yahweh will war with Amalek from generation to generation. Hold up, man. Why didn't it say Yahweh should war against Yahweh has sworn Yahweh? But it don't say that. It says Yah has sworn that Yahweh will war with Amalek from generation. Well, Amalek going to be living from generation to generation? Yahweh got to fight against a king generation to generation? So who, again, well, we know that the Torah is spiritual. So who is Amalek? Who is Yahweh going to be fighting against for generation to generation? About the woman seed, which is who? Hasatan and his kids. And Yahweh. Yahweh seed. Yeah, I mean, the woman seed is Yahushua. The woman seed is Hasatan. But Yah said, I swear to you, my word, this is my word, that Yahweh going to fight against this king from generation to generation. Hostility is going to be between the woman seed and the serpent seed. Righteousness against unrighteousness for throughout our world system until he comes and set everything straight. One more to show that these two nations are going to be finished fighting, and we're going to finish out with this last scripture. We're going to go to Bereshit 25:23, family. And again, what did we read earlier in Romans 7:14? For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but because my carnality is, it does not allow me the spiritual implications underneath these words. Because I'm carnal, I may not see the spiritual understanding of these things that the Most High is bringing out. But through his spirit, I'll be able to see the spiritual meaning also with the physical. Amen? Amen. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of the Philistine, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. Yahweh was entreated by him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her. She said, "If it is like this, why do I live?" She went to inquire of Yahweh. Amen. Yahweh said to her, "Two nations, your womb, two people." What is it? Two nations or two people? Will be separate from your body. The one will be stronger than the other. The elder will serve the young. Two nations in her womb, fighting, struggling while they're in the womb. Now, what are we talking about? This righteous seed and this unrighteous seed. And this woman having these two babies that's at war with one another. We just read in the book of Hazan, the book of Revelation, that Hasatan was threw down, and he's mad at this woman that was pregnant with child. And he went to make war with her. Even Abba word is beautiful. And we can't do that. We know absolutely nothing. We thank Yahweh for his ruach to be able to put his word together. So he told us from the beginning that you are not going to get along with everybody. The unrighteous seed and the righteous seed. And there's so many other scriptures we can build on. So many other scriptures to build on. But we're going to leave it right there for tonight. That there's hostility against you if you claim to be righteous. It will be hostility. The Black Lives Matter and all this other foolishness, all this other coming together, this fake unity. Not so. We should never get caught up, as the prophet said, as the Maurice said earlier, we should never get caught up in that. The only hope that we look forward to as believers is Yah and his son Yahweh. That's it. He is our hope. He is our righteousness. And we become his righteousness on this earth. Because we are the sons and daughters of Yah, who are at war with the sons and daughters of Hasatan, of Halal. There's enmity, there's hostility between us. We will never get along. Yahushua said it this way: if the world hate me, Noah's going to hate you too. If there's hostility towards me from the world, Noah's going to be hostility towards you from the world. Because we do not mix. It says in one scripture, what does light have to do with darkness? Yes, we in this world. But we in this world for a specific reason, to be lights. For those who want to grab onto it, for those who Abba bring towards us. But as we started off talking, let's find reasons as our forefather Abraham stood in the doorway while he was circumcised to show somebody the love of Yah. Let's find reasons to love one another. Let's find reasons to show this world Almighty One. His kids are here. The righteousness that you look for, that you yearn for, that you have been bamboozled, is here. Brother Kepler said it this way: hey, money, silver, and gold I don't have, but the word of Yahweh I have. That should be the sentiment of every righteous person, every believer throughout this world system, wherever Yahweh planted you. And now, stop right there, family, because I'll talk about where we were for the rest of the night. So, I want to thank y'all once again for listening, and those who were tuning in for listening and most importantly, thank Abba Yah for giving us his wisdom to speak his word. His wisdom to speak his word. And Abba Yah, that you bring forth the word for the rest of the day, later on in the day, that you put in the Moreh's mouths your spirit of righteousness, your sword, Father. Moreh Harel in the morning and Moreh Dariel in the afternoon. Those who are new to the channel or have been listening to the channel, may you stay tuned and continue to get fed by Yahweh's Moreh. Let me find this right here, Brandon. My closing benediction. Oh, this time. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I got it. Bless are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Bless are you, Yahweh, who resuscitate the dead. Bless are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Bless are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Bless are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the home. Bless are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Bless are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abiyah. Toda Abiyah for the meal you have prepared for us tonight, Father. Father, we look forward to the meals of tomorrow, Father. Be your Moreh, Father. May you keep anything that try to come between them from now and tomorrow, Father, far from them, Father, so their minds can be in shalom when they bring forth your word, Father, when they bring forth edification to your word, Father. But keep anything away from them, Father, no matter what it is, Father. Keep their minds in shalom, Father. Father, and all of Israel, Father, may you keep their minds in shalom while we end this period of rest, while we end the Shabbat, Father. So nothing can come in, Father, and take their minds away from you, Father, for we know you just told us that we have an adversary, that we are at war. Thousands of years now we have been at war, Father. So keep him far away, Father. Keep him at bay, Father. Allow us, as we end this 24-hour period that's inside of this hedge of the Shabbat, Father, that it would be with shalom, Father. At the end of the day, Father, give us your shalom, your Shabbat shalom. Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. No. I look to you.